Thanks for taking a moment to listen to the product from readorlisten.com, a subset of Developers Hangout, where we take a moment to read tech-related articles so that you can listen to them while you're working, driving, or exercising, what be it. All right, enjoy. This is an article about BDD and adopting BDD as a team. I found it really interesting as we've been trying to do that for almost a year now and just where we're at with it and where we need to go. The article is titled The 5 Stages of BDD and Agile Adoption by John Ferguson Smart and Jan Molak, and it's at johnfergusonsmart.com. I'll put links in the show note. Here we go. More and more organizations are looking to behavior-driven development and related practices as a way to gain or retain their competitive advantage in the software delivery. This is generally a good thing, and the teams I see that succeed in embracing BDD and agile mindset do reap huge benefits in terms of business value. Teams that adopt BDD and other agile practices typically go through a number of phases as their understanding evolves and their experience builds. Being familiar with these stages makes it easier to evaluate progress and streamline the adoption process. A model of 5 levels. A typical BDD adoption process, and indeed agile adoption in general, goes through 5 quite distinctive stages or levels of maturity. Folks familiar with learning models like Dreyfus Model of Skills Acquisition and Shahari will see some parallels here, and that is intentional, as both of these models provide some great insights into the process of learning. However, unlike these models, the 5 stages I discuss here are as much about team maturity and shared understanding than about individual skills. The effective skill and maturity of a team in any area is not the sum of the skills of the individuals. In fact, the team maturity is quite a different beast altogether. For example, I have seen many, many teams where the strong personalities of few individuals were override the ideas of less forthcoming team members, to the detriment of the team as a whole. Team maturity has much to do with fostering a shared understanding, a common alignment around clear business goals, and a culture of psychological safety as it does with individual skill levels. This model actually works well for agile adoption in general, but in this article I want to focus particularly on adopting BDD practices, as this is where a lot of examples I mentioned come from. In addition, I find that teams successfully embrace BDD mindset. They are more likely to go get concrete and long-lasting benefits than teams that simply trying to do agile or do scrum. The first section is disruption, or the first phase. And then he starts with a quote. To go faster, you must slow down. John Brunner. Most adoption processes start with some sort of training, whether it be formal classroom training or formal or more informal internal show-and-tell sessions. When teams learn about new practices and start to apply them in their daily work, they inevitably slow down. This is normal and desirable. We cannot learn effectively if we are under pressure to deliver or to work faster. In fact, when a team is placed under pressure to deliver whilst learning, the team will do neither well. In this initial phase, it is essential to give the team space to breathe while team members learn a new way of working. Any change in the way a team works is disruptive. That is why change is hard. During the initial phase, the team is almost entirely focused on learning how to apply what they have been taught. They follow the rules, ceremonies, and practices that they were shown, or as they understood them, even if they don't yet have enough experience to know whether they're doing them well, or in the way they would work best for them, or exactly why they are doing them in a particular way. The disruption phase usually involves a lot of theoretical training and workshops. Theoretical training is really enough to get a team off the ground and needs to be complemented with some form of support. On the positive side, at this early stage, team members generally respond well to guidance from mentors or more experienced practitioners. The next phase is appreciation, and he starts with a quote, "A little learning is a dangerous thing," Alexander Pope. By the appreciation stage, the team knows what to do, on paper at least. They will have broken even in terms of, They will have broken even in terms of productivity and may even register some modest gains. They are able to apply the principles they have learnt in the real world, but they are still very focused, much focused on following the rules and procedures they have learnt. At this level, teams will often ask for cookbooks or formulas to tell them what they should do in particular circumstances. For example, they may ask for precise rules about when to express acceptance criteria as a narrative, given when then scenarios, and when to express them in tabular form. Another characteristic of this level is that most team members are still thinking very much in terms of process and practice, such as writing scenarios as given when then format, or discussing requirements in Three Amigo workshops, rather than thinking in terms of finding the most efficient path to deliver the business value. Even this is normal. Our brains have trouble focusing on more than one level of abstraction at the same time, and until we master the basics, it is hard to take a step back and see the bigger picture. This level is a dangerous one, as oftentimes both management and team assume that the work is done, that the adoption process is complete. Without strong leadership and guidance, many teams can stay at this level almost indefinitely and fail to reap the full benefits of their new practices, or even conclude that the new practices are right for them before they fully understand them. The next stage is, or phase, is comprehension, and again a quote, "I fear not the man who practices 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who practices one kick 10,000 times." Bruce Lee. As teams grow in maturity, they come to understand that simply following rules, recipes, and procedures is a rather inefficient way of working. It may get the job done, but does not lead to optimal or elegant solutions. They may be able to tile a floor by following a set of rules in a DIY book, but it won't be very neat. It will take longer because you don't know the old tiler's tricks for getting the corners lined up or just so, and you certainly won't create a mosaic. You may be able to run proper Three Amigos sessions, but you spend a lot of time discussing points that more experienced team would skim over in minutes and would not deem worthy of their attention. When a team gets to the comprehension level, they start to benefit from their growing experience. They are now comfortable enough with the basic practices to be able to look beyond the rules and recommendations they have learned and have a good idea when they can bend or break the rules. They can start to adapt the practices and how they apply them based on differing circumstances or context. For example, they will understand when it might be better to express a scenario as a single table or split it into a set of tables. They will know when an acceptance criteria will be more useful in a given when-then format or when a simple declarative sentence will suffice. They will also know if a scenario should be tested via a UI test with a fully set up and expensive integration environment or maybe just on a unit test level. Teams at this level also communicate more efficiently. They have a common language and a common understanding that help them leave some things that are now well understood unstated. This helps them reason about business problems at a higher level and start to provide more innovative solutions. One thing you notice about a team from this stage on is their increasing level of engagement and empathy, both for other team members and for the client. They generally care about doing a good job and will actively look for a better way to deliver. This engagement needs to be fostered and developed as it is the key to the next level, adoption. The next phase, adoption. And again, it starts with a quote, and I'm going to not read it with the strikeout words. "Theirs is not to make reply, theirs is to reason why. With apologies, Alfred Lord Tennyson." The next step in a team's BDD adoption process is to truly realize that there is a bigger picture out there, that the process and practices are a means to an end, and that the end is to deliver business value. This helps the team question their practices, which is the first step to improving and adapting them to their own context. And then there's a block quote. "Of course, in the previous levels, the team knows about the importance of business value, at least in theory, but they hadn't yet internalized the processes and practices enough to be able to step away and consider how they might be refined." At the adoption level, the team is ready to explore. They can not only bend and break the rules, they can invest entirely new ones. They are in a good place to learn from the experience of others, experiment with new practices, or variations of existing ones. At this level, and to some extent in the comprehension level as well, the team will be able to use their understanding of the business goals to question the form and even the validity of the features that the business asks for. In organizations where requirements are handed down from on high and questioning the validity or business value of the requirement is not viewed in a positive light, this sort of thinking is positively discouraged. This may sound like a lot like waterfall, but there are plenty of allegedly agile organizations that still operate this way. Moving these organizations much beyond the appreciation level requires a much more substantial shift in mindset, but that is where the big payoffs come through. The next phase and final phase is expansion. And then there is a quote, "Learn the rules like a pro so you can break them like an artist." Pablo Picasso. The expansion level corresponds to some extent to the expertise stage in the Dreyfus model or the RI stage in the Shahari model. At the adoption level, the team can draw on their experience to make reasoned decisions about the best way to deliver value to the business. At the expansion level, the team has accumulated such a wealth of collective experience that they intuitively just know how to deliver a particular outcome. Furthermore, their experience with working and communicating with each other make the delivery smooth and fluid. The team will also be in a good position to expand their principles beyond their immediate sphere. For example, it becomes very natural for teams at this level to apply their understanding of how to effectively deliver business value to help the organization plan and prioritize features and capabilities at the portfolio level. This way, IT can support the business as a partner in driving value rather than just an unimaginative service provider. Climbing the ladder. Different organizations and even different teams will go through these stages at different rates, but some teams at different rates. Some teams get stuck and are tempted to abandon the whole practice. Many others stop at the appreciation level and are convinced that they have successfully adopted BDD or Agile or Scrum and are getting all the benefits that are to be had. I find that a great way to avoid these pitfalls is to do two things: define good progress metrics and make your progress visible. Let's see what I mean by this. Define good metrics. And there's a quote, "The wise man points to the moon, the fool looks at the finger." Confucius. When you adopt a new practice or process, it's always good to know how well you are doing. Many organizations are perfectly happy just to note their practices they are doing or what ceremonies they are observing and assuming that following these practices means progress. For example, they are doing daily stand-ups and they have a board on the wall with colored cards and they talk about user stories a lot. So naturally they are doing Agile just fine. Or they write all their stories using Gherkin, given when then notation. So surely they are doing BDD correctly. But just observing what practices are performing is not a great way to measure progress. You're not doing Scrum or doing BDD so that you can have a nice group chat every morning or gather around the table to talk given when then. Your goal is to align your efforts so that you can get useful features out the door sooner. This also applies to technical practices. For example, it's certainly a good thing to write unit tests for code, even better to write them before you write the code. But just saying that you're doing TDD doesn't mean you're doing it well or effectively. If you're serious about measuring how well you're doing, a better strategy is to define more objective metrics, preferably independent of the process you are following. I would rather track defect rates or features deployed to production than velocities or stories marked done. Velocity and stories count is easy to game. Defect rates, not so much. For example, if I measured on the number of stories done, I can just make my stories smaller. Useful metrics that are harder to game, even unintentionally, tend to be indirect and related to tangible business-focused outcomes, such as features, not stories, deployed to production, and defect density. Other similar useful metrics might include revenue generated, transactions processed, and so forth. Two simple and practical metrics that I find useful to keep tabs on BDD adoption process and that are easy to track are defect rate, how many defects, including misunderstood requirements, are raised after a story is delivered. Throughput, the number of features you get from the backlog to in front of your users in a given period of time. The numbers here are conservative guidelines, but they do reflect what I have seen in the field when teams introduce BDD practices and go through these stages. During disruption, productivity actually drops as the team learns and adapts the new practices. Despite this, particularly in teams that practice both BDD and TDT, we typically see a drop in defects. During appreciation, the team breaks even in terms of productivity and throughput and will typically continue to gain in terms of quality and reduce defect density. During comprehension, the team starts to see some solid gains in terms of throughput. During adoption, the team consolidates and extends their gains in productivity. At the extension level, the team is at the optimum performance. It is not rare to see defects drop to virtually zero and throughput increase dramatically. Conclusion, driving progress. Too many teams and organizations never get beyond the appreciation stage of BDD adoption. This is a shame, as the benefits at this level are mediocre compared to what can be achieved at the higher levels of maturity. If all you are getting with your BDD adoption is fewer defects for comparable throughput, then BDD is hardly worth the investment, at least in short term. To really get the benefits of BDD, you need to set the bar higher. But progress doesn't happen by itself. You need to drive it through deliberate learning and continuous improvements. To progress through the level, team members need to build up skills and experience. But this is only part of the formula. How the team communicates and interacts with each other and with outside world is equally important. Successful team balance, improving their skills and pride in their work, and a healthy dose of empathy for each other and for the customer.